It's 9:36, and this is the Sundance Hill. I'm Leslie Thatcher, along with Linda Jager. Well, launched in 1997, the Electric Daisy Carnival was first held in Los Angeles. Like Burning Man, it's become a global phenomenon, and all documented in the film Under the Electric Sky. In the studio are the directors of the film, screening in the Midnight category. I have Dan Cutforth and Jane Lipsett. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So this had to be a really fun film.
It was.
I haven't seen it, but I just...
It definitely is. It's not... it's so hard to walk in here and follow someone who's talking about a documentary about Darfur because, you know, our movie is definitely... It's a fun sort of celebration of life. The culture of dance music is blowing up at the moment, but our movie is really about the fans and the people who go on a journey to sort of... a journey to EDC.
How did you discover the EDC?
We directed the Katy Perry movie, and after that happened, we were trying to figure out what we wanted to do next, and we were looking into EDM, because electronic dance music, because it was certainly gaining more and more popularity, and it just seemed like a really interesting world. And simultaneously, Pasquale Rotella, who created EDC, had seen the Katy Perry movie and actually very kindly sought us out because he felt like that our storytelling would coincide with his goal, so...
Yeah,
that's how
I
it happened.
Grew up in Southern California. I mean, I haven't been there for 30 years or more, but I've never even heard of this. I mean, from friends. Where was it in L.A.?
It was at the Coliseum.
Originally, yeah.
It was originally at the Coliseum, and it moved to Las Vegas a few years back.
2 years, I think. 2 years, was that
two,
right?
Two, 3 years ago, yeah. I think, something like that.
So it's an indoor?
No, it's a... it's hard to... Hopefully the movie does a good job of showing the spectacle that's involved, but it's at a giant speedway outside in the desert outside of Las Vegas where, you know, when everyone's there, cell phones don't work. It's a whole kind of, I heard someone talking about Burning Man earlier. It's sort of reminiscent of that a little bit, but there are seven stages. The largest stage takes about 80,000 people. There are something like 140,000 people that come every night.
345,000 for the whole festival. Yeah.
So it's an enormous event, and it takes place all through the night over 3 nights.
So do people stay and camp there, or they kind of come and go?
They come and go. There is no camping there, actually. They go back to Vegas or hotels and sort of in the area right around
there.
Yeah,
you would die if you tried to camp there. It's so hot. People go to hotels, or they get RVs, or they just crash with, that's part of the adventure for some people is that they don't know where they're going to stay. They literally show up with enough money, with their ticket and enough money for food, and then then the rest of it is part of the adventure.
Yeah. So, is it just a kind of a visual and oral delight, or does the film actually tell some story?
No, it definitely tells. It is a visual and oral delight. It's in 3D, and the music is, we paid particular attention to the music, but it definitely is a story-driven film. And it follows five different stories from, a young girl from Texas with social anxiety to a group called the Wolf Pack, which are a bunch of male buddies from Massachusetts who have suffered a loss, who are coming to heal themselves. I mean, there's a whole, a married couple, a couple who've been together 15 years who are coming to get married at EDC. So it's a very, it's definitely a journey that you're following and you're invested in these characters.
How did you find the characters to profile? That sounds like interesting
stories.
Yeah,
we did a lot of outreach through social media. There are a lot of websites and blogs that cater to the crowd that are into EDM. So we put the word out there, and it got out there pretty quickly. And we had an enormous number of stories to kind of churn through and work through. And we ended up picking 21 stories, and some of those stories had 6 or 7 characters attached to them. And we tried to follow all of them as much as we could over the weekend. We had cameras that we were almost like a news operation. We were kind of following stories, sending out cameras. And we ended up focusing, as Jane said, on just a few of them, the ones that had the most sort of interesting story and who felt like they had the most kind of life-changing experience through the weekend.
Yeah. So you had some elements to deal with. I mean, kind of like the heat and the desert.
And the noise. I mean, it's incredibly loud. And it was sort of hilarious because we had all this space age equipment, 3D cameras on a massive sort of techno jib that can do all these things. And it requires 5 people to operate it. And no one could hear anything on radio because we were so close to the stage, even with noise canceling headphones. So literally, we were writing on whiteboards and showing it, holding it up and showing it to people so that they knew what shot we wanted. That was literally how we communicated. It was sort of Stone Age communication with space age technology. But it was pretty challenging conditions, and it was really hot and really loud, but it was really energizing and exciting as well.
Now, these performance type filming situations aren't new to you. You've been involved in the Justin Bieber movie and Katy Perry, as you said before. How is this different from your production, your producing involvement to directing?
I don't know. They're all different stories. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, we just get, you know, obviously the logistics change for each and every movie. But, I mean, I think it's more where, you know, the change that we feel is more connected to the actual story we're telling. Like Justin, we were on tour with him. We were moving around constantly for about, you know, 10 days. And obviously we worked with John Chu on that, who was the director in that case. And then on Katy, we weren't on tour with her for, you know, we shot a lot of the stuff when we got back to LA, but we were using other people's footage as well, and so that was a different directing experience. And then this, you know, was sort of, you know, from beginning to end, you know, in terms of being shooting. And
it was definitely scary for us not to have a big star to follow and to know that we had that to fall back on. So we were really depending on these stories to pan out. You know, that was the whole approach. Otherwise, you're left with, you know, a movie. There's definitely an audience for a concert movie with a bunch of the biggest DJs in the world, and so we knew we had that. But we really wanted to kind of transcend the concert film genre and make something that was really kind of broad mainstream entertainment, but with great storytelling. And fortunately for us, we got really some great stories. And, you know, it's very exciting for us to be here at Sundance screening it. We've obviously been working on this movie so hard, and we screened it for friends and family and stuff. But to see the reaction that we got on Saturday night, with people in tears, people cheering, it was amazing.
Huh. So when does this thing, carnival, happen?
It happens in June. But there are EDCs all over the country and all over the world now. There was one in London last year for the first time. But the kind of the flagship is the Las Vegas one. That's the biggest. It's the one that every kind of raver dreams of going to. And people come from all over the world. Even if there's an EDC on their doorstep, they'll travel thousands and thousands of miles to go to this one.
Yeah. So a ticket is like for the 3 days. It's not like you just go in for a day at a time.
Yeah, and you get a special box with the, you know, bracelets and the tags. And, you know, so it's a special experience.
Huh. And so have you been to the one in London? You sound like you're British.
I haven't. No, I haven't. I would love to go, but I didn't go to it. We went to one other one in Chicago, which was really fun. That was the first time. Last year was the first time they'd been in Chicago. But again, it was in no way on the scale and scope of the event in Las Vegas. And the other thing that kind of is what is so great as a filmmaker being there that we didn't mention is that people put a huge amount of effort into their appearance. So they plan their outfits for all 3 days, and one day they'll be superheroes, next day they'll be wolves, and, you know, they wear kind of completely insane outfits. Saw some kind of pretty amazing things that I'll never forget over those 3 nights.
Yeah. So it's a lot of wardrobe, but we don't have to pay for it. A lot of great wardrobe.
It's a lot of production value that we didn't have to pay for.
Of the audience you profiled, was it a first time for anyone?
Yes, it was.
Like?
Yeah. Well, Jane mentioned in passing this girl, Sadie, who's from Texas. She lives in a small town where everyone listens to country music and Christian music and Little Wayne, as she says. And she had never been to EDC before. She was just old enough to go this year, so she went for the first time. But she's a sort of misfit in her small town in Texas, and she knew that this would be a place where people like her would be there in their thousands. And she had an amazing experience. She suffers from anxiety attacks, and she kind of had a mini anxiety attack on the last day, but she rallied and ended up having, you know, incredible sort of climactic experience on the last night.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, people come for the music, but there's so much more going on.
Oh,
right?
Well, yeah, for sure.
Actually, the event sells out before they announce the name of one DJ. I mean, it's such a big cultural phenomenon for this crowd that they don't even care who's playing. They want to be there. They know that the DJs will be amazing, the music will be amazing, but it's, you know, there's art and carnival rides, and it's just a sort of feast for the senses.
I mean, they have a sort of slogan, if you will, which is peace, love, unity, respect, which is all about the experience that you have there, where everyone comes together and celebrates as one, and you know, you can forget all your problems and be accepted. It's really about acceptance, and that's a big message of the festival and the movie.
But they have like carnival rides too, right?
Yeah. They do. Yes.
It's about acceptance and carnival rides.
Right.
And great music.
Yeah.
And great music, exactly.
Well, I got to ask before I let you go, you guys also have a television production company, and you guys produce Project Runway, really?
We did.
Was this your idea for the show, or you just produced it?
Well, I mean, it started, we actually did Project Greenlight before that, which was the last time we were here shooting. And then out of that, because we were working with Miramax, they had an idea to do a fashion show with models, so we developed the show with Miramax and Heidi Klum, but when it went to Lifetime, we stopped doing that. But we do Top Chef. We just did Time of Death for Showtime, and
Cold Justice
on TNT. So we have the Braxtons. We have we span a wide scope of television. So
yeah,
we
really
love
do.
It. Yeah.
So what are you working on next?
Well, all kinds of stuff. And a new season of Cold Justice, where we literally solve crimes and, you know, in small towns, which is really cool.
We've had two confessions in the last week. I mean, these are all cases that we pull up. So that's premiering. That just premiered Friday night at 8 on TNT.
Yeah, we're doing more Top Chef, more Braxtons, more Tamar and Vince. You know, basically, we got a lot on our plate right now.
Sounds
so I've got to get back to LA today.
Yes.
Well, Under the Sky, again, it's part of the midnight screenings at Sundance. Best of luck to you. It sounds like a fabulous film. I hope I get to see it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
As producer and directors Dan Cutforth and Jane Lipsett, it's 9:47.
Executive Chef Chris Sheehan from Park Meadows Country Club here, supporting KPCW. We offer regionally inspired cuisine such as pine nut crusted filet of sole for dining inside or outside. Our dining venues are also ready for any occasion, and golf, social, and dining memberships are also available. 649-2460 or on the web at parkmeadowscc.com.